Good morning. Let us stand as we are able to call ourselves into our time of worshiping God together. We look in the mirror, and what do we see? We look in the mirror, and how do we see?
We see hearts which are open to God's love, with lives which seek to trust when all the evidence tells us not to be so foolish.
We look in the mirror, and who do we see? Please remain standing as we sing hymn number 212, Our God, Our Help in Ages Past.
And it's 210. It's actually number 210. Oh,
210. Sorry, 210. Let us remember the words of Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, as we confess aloud who we are to God. God, you heap your love upon us like a parent providing for a family's needs, embracing a child with tenderness. Forgive us when we spoil children. We treat your generosity and hug it possessively to ourselves. Give us enough trust to live secure in your love and share freely with others in open-handed confidence that your grace will never run out.
Amen.
Like us, the disciples wondered, who can be saved? Jesus looked at them carefully and said, it's impossible with human beings, but not with God. All things are possible for God. Friends, be at peace, knowing that through Christ we have been forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. May the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
Also with you.
Please share this peace with all you meet with a wave and a nod. Gracious God, By your Spirit, tell us what we need to hear and show us what we ought to do so we may better serve Christ our Lord. Amen. I will now read from the Gospel, Mark chapter 12, verses 17 through 31. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your mother and father." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go and sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard will it be for those who have a wealth to enter the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers and children, and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are the first will be the last, and the last will be the first."
Thank you. was here. Where, oh, where is Olivia? Bring your Bible, lady. Bring your Bible. We're going to do some Bible study. But deep in his spirit, where once he believed God would hear him voice his arguments against the apparent punishment he's inappropriately receiving, now Job is saying God has disappeared from his life. He cannot find God anywhere, not east, nor west, nor north, nor south. Behold, he says, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left, where he works, but I cannot behold him. On the right, where he is concealed, I cannot see him. For the last several chapters, Job has been knocking on God's door to no avail. In fact, instead of the door being opened to him, he's hearing it being slammed and bolted in his face. Oh, that I knew where I might find God, he says. Job feels totally and terrifyingly cut off from God. He feels God has wrapped God's self in the deepest darkness imaginable. He asks a question that we've all asked at one time or another. Where is God when you need him? Poet Anne Weems, I think she's a Midwesterner. She's contemporary. She's Presbyterian, too. She lost her son on the day of his 21st birthday. Can you imagine that? I know some of you can. She writes of her struggle with faith in the aftermath of the event in a poem that I'm going to read in its entirety. It's short. Lament, Psalm 8, by Anne Weems. God, have you forgotten our covenant? Have you forgotten your promise? Can't you enter my world of tears? Can you make your home in a heart that is broken? Oh God, acknowledge that you hear my cry. Send word that you are on the way. Answer me so that I can cling to some hope of your presence, for I have believed that you would come. I have trusted that you would keep your word. I will praise your name through my tears and continue to worship you, my hope and my life. You are merciful and just, and compassion is your name. You will be with me. You will bless and keep me. And I will live in your abundant love for all time. Job. Henry Nouwen. Anne Weems. And so many other people have felt this incredible sense of lostness, blindness, deafness, of being separated from the hope of God's love forever. This time of spiritual crisis is known as the dark night of the soul. And though such an era of life is often triggered by a great personal loss, that is not always the case. Sometimes faith just disappears on us. The spiritual and emotional changes that we have experienced these last 19 months together has brought many of us into the gloom of doubt. Doubt that it will ever get better. Doubt that we'll ever go back to what we knew. Doubt that, you know, whatever. Doubt that God is even around. I suspect it is, or has, hovered over some of us here in this place. But like most things, the dark night of the soul is not clinical depression. The dark night is different. It's a period when you simply do not know where God is in your life. It's where you aren't sure that you still have faith. And it's hard to really describe, but it's something like the feeling of being totally not lost in a night with no moon or stars, so impenetrable that you can barely breathe. Our story today does not give us any satisfying answers to why Job has lost his family and his wealth, let alone to be so accursed by his friends, except that they were being nudged by Satan. And we know not how long Job has already spent in this season of darkness, or will spend. Many of us spend months wandering seemingly alone in the depths. Occasionally, people experience more than one season of darkness. But while dark nights do not feel soothing to the soul, they do have a way of working out. We all face crises in our lives. Some even last for years. And all too often, folks resign themselves to their misfortune. They say, "It must be the Lord's will. I must accept this pain." But Job didn't do that. He chose to argue with God, even though he cannot find God. Here's what he says in chapter 23, verses 16 and 17. He says, "God has weakened my mind, the Almighty has frightened me. Still, I am not annihilated by darkness. He has hidden deep darkness from me." The torture of the trials of the adversary that he has heaped upon him have depleted Job's strength. But Job still disagrees with the idea that he is wrong. And he is going to persist in his demand to face God in court and argue his case. Job has been pummeled by life, but he is not going down yet. And while we may think he's crazy to argue with God, I mean, really, argue with God, who's going to win? I still submit that arguing with our Creator is okay. It's allowed. God has big shoulders. And indeed, arguing with God is an act of deep faith, a deep faith in God's abiding love, even if your argument is voiced to the utter stillness and silence and darkness. It's okay to do that. Arguing with the one who was, who is, and who will be is actually engaging your relationship with the unseen Creator. It's like fighting with someone you love. It isn't allowing yourself to be annihilated by the darkness. My friends, arguing with God is living in faith, in hope. Hope that God's integrity and faithfulness to us is as great as we imagine, and that one day the trials will subside and joy will again fill our hearts and we will stand in the presence of the Lord forever. May we all have the hope of Job. Amen. Please join me in singing hymn number 404. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord.
Standing as we state what we believe using the words from the brief statement of faith. We trust in Jesus Christ, fully human, fully God. Jesus proclaimed the reign of God, preaching good news to the poor and release to the captives, teaching by word and deed and blessing the children, healing the sick, and binding up the brokenhearted, eating with outcasts, forgiving sinners, and calling all to repent and believe the gospel. Unjustly condemned for blasphemy and sedition, Jesus was crucified, suffering the depths of human pain, and giving his life for the sins of the world. God raised Jesus from the dead, vindicating his sinless life, breaking the power of sin and evil, delivering us from the death of eternal. With believers in every time and place, we rejoice that nothing in life or in death can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
All your many gifts, we are grateful. Our hearts soar with eagles in the autumn sky, and our senses heightened with the scent of harvested corn and beans on crisp air. Even the golden light of smoky-colored evenings can bring us joy. Thank you for all of these. O Lord, sometimes the troubles of the world seem impossible to address, and the burdens of life seem too much for us to bear. Yet we trust that for you, our God, all things are possible. Hear us now as we pray for those who have lost everything they hold dear. We pray for parents who've lost a child. Such grief is nearly unbearable, and we ask you to be present to them and comfort them as long as they live. And we lift up to you those who've watched life ebb away and have not known how to help other than to hold the dying person's hand. Help them know they are acting in your service, and though the task is draining, they are a blessing to that person and to the world. We ask that you care for those who have lost not just their possessions, but their lives or health or their livelihoods in fires or floods, landslides or explosions. O Lord, we are bold to pray for peace among tribes that go to war with one another over land ownership and power over those who live on it. We pray that the hungry may be fed and all who live on this, your earth, are allowed to live lives of dignity. We lift up to you those who are homeless or suffering domestic violence, and we beg you wrap them in the warmth of your tenderness. Help them to know all is not lost and that in you there is hope for the future, that in for you all things are possible. We pray for the welfare of this, our community. May our streets and homes be safe, schools and jobs be had by all who want them, and may your spirit of love rise up among neighbors. We say this, hearing the discord that has rumbled through the land. Help us all to find calm words that are life-giving to others when tempers begin to flare. For you have called us to be peacemakers in your name. We pray for the healing of all who suffer, especially those whose suffering has brought them to a place where they no longer feel your presence. Help them through their dark night and comfort them. Give those who despair hope and strength to go on until they sense your presence again in their lives. Oh God, in you all things are possible. So we lift these prayers to you and commit our lives to seek your will. We do so through Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory of God.
Please stand and sing the summons with me. You have the insert or the added page for your bulletin.
Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown and you in me? Will you leave yourself behind if I but call your name? Will you care for cruel and kind and never be the same? Will you risk the hostile stare? Should your life attract or scare? Will you let me answer prayer in you and you in me? Will you let the blinded see if I but call your name? Will you set the prisoners free and ever be the same? Will you kiss the leper clean and do such as this unseen and admit to what I mean in you and you in me? and you in me. Lord, your summons echoes true when you but call my name. Let me turn and follow you and never be the same. In your company I'll go where your love and footsteps show. Thus I'll move and live and grow in you and you in me.
So, Joe, I think the battery is going out. Sorry. Joe. He got kicked around, didn't he? He lost everything. His kids, his belongings, his friends were kicking him. He wanted to argue with God. He couldn't find God. He felt deserted, but he still wanted to argue with God, to talk with God, even when he couldn't figure and feel God's presence. Sometimes life does that to us. Sometimes we don't feel God's presence. But those are the times when we need to remember that even if God doesn't seem to be there, God really is there. We need to keep hoping, praying, and fighting our hearts out until we feel God's love and recognize that we are one in the Spirit. Go out in hope. Hope that your lives will be blessed, for they are, each and every day, by the grace of God, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community that is the Holy Spirit that goes with you each and every day.